you know, right now, I know that I'm not right with the Lord. I got some issues going on in my life, and I'm not right with Him. And so therefore, I look forward to going down next week to Georgia to get my rear end handed to me, because that's usually what the Lord does. But you know what? I like when that happens to me.
Amen.
Because I always come out a better person. I'm not saying it's easy or I'm a glutton for punishment, but I just know that I'm going to come out a different person. I'm going to come out different than when I left here.
Amen.
And I look forward to that because I want to be different. That's something that's inside of me that I just want to be different than what I am today. And most of you might sit back and go, well, what's wrong with you today? Oh, believe me, there's a whole lot wrong with me today. And, you know, the Lord shows that to me. You know, in Ephesians, He says, put on the whole armor of God. I got some tinks in my armor that need to be corrected. I got some little holes that are starting to be put in my armor that I need to get that fixed back up again before it gets too big. And you see, I can be man enough to sit there with God and say, Lord, you are right, and I am absolutely wrong. Let's get this thing fixed before it gets too late. Okay, because there comes a point in time where I can just continue to let it go on, and next thing you know, I find myself in a position that the Lord never intended for me to be, but because He loves me, He has to allow me to go into that place.
Amen.
Because I have to see that chink that's in my armor. I have to see what's going on. And the only way that's going to happen is if He allows me to go through things and I start seeing it. Start getting beat up a little bit. But anyway, rescue the perishing. Well, how many of us are out there doing it? You know the lifeline. You know who He is. You know the answer to some of the things, but how many are really... What happens, I think, is we become complacent. We become comfortable inside our own church with our own people and not realizing there's people dying and going to hell outside these walls. I mean, my goodness. What is it going to take for America, the churches in America today, to wake up to their foolishness and get back to what God has called us to, and that's to rescue the perishing? This whole thing that everybody's wrapped up in, they think they have the answer for, it's not working. When are we going to wake up and smell the coffee and realize, wait, that's not working? You know, if your car starts clicking and tanging and binging and banging, you go, wait, that's not working, I got to get it fixed. Yeah. Well, that's what Christianity's at today. It's got to get fixed. And, you know, we each have a role in that. We each individually have a role in that. But anyway, who thinks it's hot today? Okay, remember that when it's 15 below zero and you're complaining then. I'm just saying, because we all do it. I tell my wife all the time, I say, hon, I know you're complaining when it's hot. I said, but you complain more when it's cold. Okay, so me personally, I like hot weather. This is it for me. This is perfect. I'm loving it. I'm just telling you, I was meant for the hot weather. I love it.
3 days a year here.
Yeah, I mean, I don't get it much. You know, but anyway, God's good. I'm not going to keep us long. We're going to go back to the book of John. This is the, I'm in verse 14, I believe. I'm showing why Jesus Christ, John 1:14, showing why Jesus, some of the reasons why Jesus Christ had to come in the flesh. And there's a whole lot to that. There's a whole lot behind it. And I'm hitting on some points, but you should really get in there and study it out yourself. And you'll be amazed at why so many Baptist churches, they only hit the surface of why Jesus came down to be flesh. They don't understand the full, the whole thing that is wrapped up. I'm just telling you now. I know you guys hear me say this a lot, but there is so much to this Bible.
Amen.
You can't even begin the thing. You think you unravel one thing and 12 others are right there waiting for you to find them out. I'm just telling you, man, there is just so much to it. And it's not that it's a burden. Maybe I came off the wrong way. I'm not thinking, it's not a burden to me. It's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing to have and continue to be able to search out and see things and you know, watch what God has done and what He is doing. But anyway, just hitting some points of why Jesus was made flesh. The law is God's word, therefore Jesus became flesh. He says this in Matthew 5:17, think not that I come to destroy the law of the prophets. I have not come to destroy, but to fulfill. He came in the flesh to fulfill God's word, and there are reasons why. John 1:14 says that he became flesh. There's reasons why he became flesh. We see that he came to fulfill the law and the prophets. I showed you in Leviticus 4 and Leviticus 9 where he fulfilled Hebrews 13, where he became that flesh who burned outside the camp, went burn our sins to hell, had them burned off. He became that perfect sacrifice. Now we see another reason is why. Because he came to fulfill those things. He came to make them a reality in our life. John, let's turn with me to John 6, if you would, please. John chapter 6. And we're going to go to verse 63. That's a long chapter. There's a lot to it, though. You know, VBS, the Lord was wonderful to me in VBS. I woke up every morning not having anything for VBS, and the Lord gave me something every day, and it stayed right along the line that he wanted me to teach that whole VBS. And I'm just telling you, I think it was just something special this year, something that God, I never had God. Usually I'll go in, weeks before I'll prepare stuff. You ask them, I didn't even come in with a note. I just relied totally on God to give me something, and he kept it straight down the line. I went from, you know, Jesus Christ, showing him more than a man. Now I got a new thing. I'm out there trying to show people that he's more than just the Christmas Jesus. Okay, just some of you are caught up that Jesus is just the Christmas Jesus. There's more to Jesus than just Christmas. There's more to him that is just a man. Yeah, he was born in a a manger, and he was, you know, wrapped in swaddling clothes, all cute and all that. Well, let's get a little farther. You notice now that starts in Luke chapter 2. Then you go to Luke chapter 22, and you see what really starts happening to Jesus. People forget all about what he's done after the manger, after he was born. Then you start seeing what he went through for each and every one of us that are sitting in these pews. They forget. They get stuck either at the manger or they get stuck at the cross. They don't see anything else that he's done in that in between for you. There's things in there he's done for you that he went through that he even had to suffer. And see, Jesus get caught up on this, that he's a man. They get caught up on a Christmas Jesus. And they see nothing else about him. And I think people in America, they're really going to start getting saved. And revival's really going to start happening. People need to see Jesus for who he is. Not just a Christmas Jesus. Not just a man. They need to see him as he is God. For who he is. What he done. You get in there and read Luke 22 and see what he done for you. He was in such agony that he dropped sweats of blood. He prayed so hard that the capillaries busted in his heart, in his body and so on. This is all stuff in agony, it says he did that. In agony for your soul. Then the beatings and the mockery and the soldiers and the things that they've done to him. And he done all that for you. And when he opened his eyes, the reward was you. That's what he did it for. He did it for each and every one of us sitting in these pews. I don't know about you, but to me, that's amazing to me.
Amen.
I thank God for what he's done for me. Why would he do that for me? I can just say this. I doubt there's anybody in this room that would go through what Jesus Christ did for me. Especially when I was the way who I used to be. You guys would much rather kick me out of your house and kick me out of your life than try to get me in it. Jesus died to get me in his life. He died to make me his son. When he hung on that cross, he said, "You come down, save yourself, save others." He stayed on that cross not to save himself, but us. That's exactly what he did. I thank God for that. That still gets me worked up. He came flesh to fulfill God's word. I just read that to you, John 6, 63. Where I just read that to you, now we'll go to John 6:63. It says, the spirit that quickeneth, that means made alive. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. The words that you have sitting on your lap, they are spirit, they are life. It says that we're born of what? Incorruptible seed. Those other verses are the corruptible verses. They can't save anybody. It says being born again of the incorruptible seed. So if we believe that the King James Bible is the incorruptible seed, then you can't believe that somebody else can get saved out of another Bible.
That's exactly right.
You can't do it. It's impossible. You're going against what God said. Now, Don't forget, Jesus came down to fulfill the word. He is the word. He came down to make these things come to pass. And he said that his word is the spirit and life. John 6:63. It says, and again we see why Jesus was the word made flesh. His words are spirit. They are what makes us alive, not the flesh or our works. This verse alone destroys anyone who thinks our works or the law can save. Anyone who thinks that it's by anything has to do with them, you're crazy. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. That's whose it is. It's his. It's his from the beginning, and it'll be his in the end. And he just, you know what? He's the one who gives it to you. I'm glad salvation didn't depend on me, because I still wouldn't have it today. I'm glad it doesn't depend on works. We went to a funeral. Danny passed away. The 68-year-old Down syndrome guy, he passed away, so we went to his funeral yesterday. I guess it was sad to some and whatever, but I'm rejoicing because he's standing at the foot of Jesus Christ. He's all right, man. I understand that. But it wasn't a bad feeling in the funeral home. There wasn't much sadness from because people understood. So we went there, then we had to go to the Catholic Church. That's a creepy place, man. I haven't been in it. But the Catholic Church is a creepy to me, man. I'm sorry, but I sat there like, what is all this, Amy? Because I know she used to be a Catholic or whatever. I'm going, oh my gosh, what is that? What does that mean? What is it? You know, I was kind of creeped out about it, you know? Some guy bumped my head on an organ doing some, I don't know what guy, if he calls it singing or preaching or whatever he's doing, not a Bible in the pew, not one. And I just said, these people, you know, then the priest, he's telling me he's getting ready to do a sacrifice. He says, Jesus, please accept our sacrifice. He's doing a sacrifice on the table. He's mixing some stuff, and he goes, please accept our sacrifice. I'm going, what? I said, Amy, I said, do you think they let me come in here and be a priest? I'll preach the King James Bible right to them. I have to, But I'm saying that, but you know what's going on? Is they think they're working their way to heaven. You cannot ever do that. If you could ever work your way to heaven, then Jesus Christ would have never had to go on that cross, ever. It would have been for nothing. But you see, we can't do that. And so this is why he had to become flesh. Let me go on to some more reasons. John 17:1. Go with me to John 17:1. John 17:1. It says, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. Verse 2. As thou hast given him power over all flesh. Jesus had to come down in the flesh so that he could have power over all flesh. He didn't just come up, stay up in heaven and go, I have power over all flesh. He became flesh so he could have power over all flesh. And where did that power come from? He said, Father, you see, the Father gave him that power. Let's go on now. It says, as thou hast given power, him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Jesus has power over all flesh. None have an excuse. Jesus became like us without sin. Jesus became like us, yet without sin. He understands the things we go through. Let me go on to my next one here. We see Jesus becomes flesh and fulfills Hebrews 4. Go to Hebrews 4. Let's see what he fulfills here. Hebrews 4. You know, keep me and Amy and the kids in prayer because we're just going to step out in faith. We're going down south, and the Lord's just going to have to provide. But I know for a fact that I need to be down there. I mean, I need to be there more than anything. And I just ask, you know, the Lord help us out, man. Because I really want to go. There's something there that I keep saying, I don't know, Amy. I don't know if we should do it, man. But then in my heart, I'm just going, no, I have to be there. And I'm just going to step out in faith, and we're going, man. That's all there is to it. If I call you to come get me, come get us. We're going regardless. Anyway. It's kind of trust in the Lord with all thy heart, Proverbs 3, right? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Is that what it tells us to do? As a human being, that's a hard thing to do.
Right. We hate trusting.
Oh, yeah. What do you mean? Amy looked at me the other day and said, babe, we're going. I said, make the final decision. We're going. She goes, she just looked at me and said, doesn't it say trust the Lord, Amy? She said, Yeah, you know, it's hard. Okay, let's get the trust in it, you know. Hebrews 4:15. It says, we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. That means he understands. He understands that. He can be touched with those things. But was in all points tempted like as we, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find help in the time of need. Jesus knows what it's like to be. He knows what it's like in that very moment that you go, what can I do? I don't know what to do. He knows in that very moment what you need, because he's been through it. All points, it says. All. He's been there. He understands at that moment, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. That's why that verse is what it is. That's why it says it, because Jesus Christ can be your strength in that, because he became flesh to go through that. He understands. He had to. Listen, I'm not saying he's God, okay? He's God. He could have probably stayed up in heaven and understood everything just like he. But you know what? He chose to come down here so he could suffer like you did. So he can go through the things you did, so he can say, I understand what you're going through, Tanya. I understand what you're going through, John Ashworth. I understand it. I know how you feel. I sat by that well weary. I'm tired. He was hungry. He understood. He cried. Did he not cry?
No.
He cried with me. He cried when friends died. He understands that. It says he was tempted like all of us are. I mean, he had the devil bring him up to high mountains and on the pinnacle. I mean, just said, go ahead and do this and do that. He said, no. He used the word of God to defeat him. Why? Because when you're going through it, he understands. He understands. Now, you forget what I just read to you in John 6:63. He has power over that. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. He has power. Is that what John 6:63 said? That he has power over all flesh? He can handle it. Trust in the Lord. We were just laughing about it. But it really comes down to trusting him. You know what? It's easy. Brother Combs sings a song. It's easy. Life is easy when you're on that hill.
Yep.
When you're on that mountain, it's all good, fine and dandy. But how about it when God says, all right, strap up, we're going to the valley. Strap up, we're going down. Where do you stand then? Do you really trust the Lord then? Remember all the people, Romans 8:28, all things work good. Yeah, remember quoting that to somebody? You can't quote it to yourself in that time though, can you? That's where it matters. That's where the rubber hits the road right there. When you're in that valley, you're telling everybody else to do it this way and telling everybody else to do it that way and trust the Word and trust God and pray. What about you when the rubber hits the road? Are you doing it?
Amen.
And I pointed myself. I just sat up here and the very first thing I told you is I need to go down south. I got things wrong in my life that I need to get right. And I'm excited. I'm looking forward to going down there because I want God to show me, and he's been showing me things. And you know what? I'm ready to work on it. I'm ready to work on it. You know, I can understand for, you know, all the years, pastor, he was the only pastor in this church. Very rarely did anybody ever stand up and preach to him. That's a hard thing when you have, you know, when you need preaching, you know you need to hear the Word of God. Not saying God can't do it between you and him. He can. But I'm just saying the foolishness of preaching. I'm telling you, I get touched a lot when I hear the Word of God. When somebody's preaching it, and God gave that person something, and he gave it for me, I know that. And I just tell you, it's a whole different ballgame than what I'm studying. We need that kind of stuff. I'm hungry for it. Whether if I go broke or not, whatever happens, I don't care. I'm going down south. I'm going to get preached to. I'm going to go here to Vernon's and whoever. I don't even know who I'm going to see. I'm going down there to see whoever. I know McVay set it up where he got me preaching some places, but I could care less about that. I'm not even worried about that. I'm worried about going to get me help. I told Amy last week, I said, babe, we're starting to slide a little bit. What's the path of destruction? It's a wide road, isn't it? There's a lot of room in there to move around. But that path, that one that Jesus calls us to, is real small. You know why? Because when you start sliding, you catch yourself pretty quick. Oh, we're going the wrong way. Oh, we keep hitting that. There's not much room to mess up, man. When you're doing the right thing, when you're going down that path that he calls us down to, you don't have much room to mess up unless you're just not paying attention. Unless you're just not paying attention to what God's trying to show you. If you're not paying attention, you'll be slipping and sliding all over the place.
Amen.
Now remember, he says destruction to come without remedy. There is no remedy for your destruction. You keep hardening your heart, stiffening your neck, and all that stuff. There is no remedy. God forbid that anybody ever gets caught up to the point where there's no remedy. Well, God says, that's what you chose? Go ahead. God ever takes you captive by your own heart? You'll know it. You've known it. You've felt it. I'm sure you have. When God takes you captive with your own heart, it's a hard place to be. But you don't have to go there. Unless you're a hardhead like me. And I don't like that. I don't enjoy it. It's not fun. Verse 4:16 says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. That don't mean come in with your pridefulness. Hebrews 4:16. Therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. You ain't going to come up to him and say, so this is what you're going to do now. I'm not. You can have some boldness because you're his son, but I'm telling you, you should come with absolute respect and a fear. Lord, oh God, help me. You show me this, please. I'm coming to you because you're my father. You say you can help me. I'm coming to you boldly for your help. Your word tells me to come to you this way. You come with that reverence towards God. You know, people don't reverence God anymore. There's no fear of him anymore in America. Not one inkling of it. Not one bit. That we may obtain mercy. You see that? You come to God the right way, he'll give you mercy. Find grace in a time of need. Jesus knows what it's like to live in the flesh. He understands what we go through. Turn with me to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. Let's give you a little hint how Jesus understands what it's like to be in the flesh. Turn with me to Isaiah 53. Major prophet. Amy, you know, and I never even thought about it. She goes, how long did you preach down in VBS for? I said, I don't know, 30 minutes, 35 minutes. She goes, you've been preaching almost 7 days straight. I never even thought about it until she brought it up. Because I just enjoy it. I do. But I go through it to get what I get. Oh, man. And they just give it to me free. Here you go, Dale. Go ahead. No. I've learned right along with you guys. Believe me. That's why the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We got to pray for each other in this thing. We can't do it on our own. If we could do it on our own, he wouldn't bring Christian brothers and sisters and call us one body with many members. I know if my finger's broken, I need special help. I need some love and care. Well, that's how we are supposed to be for each other. We should start being that way. Isaiah 53. Who hath believed their report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up. We're talking about Jesus Christ. For he shall grow up as a tender plant, as a root out of the dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. Nobody wants him. He has nothing that's really attracting anybody to him. Nothing. It says, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. And he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Does that sound familiar? Does it sound like anything you've ever been through? He's been through it. So his word says, he's been through it. He understands what it is. It says, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. By choice he went through that, just to let you know. For you. For each and every one of you sitting here. But he was wounded for our transgressions. You see, it didn't say he was wounded for his transgressions. He was wounded for ours. He chose to come down in the flesh for that. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Oh, man. It's the goodness of God. When you get a hold of the goodness of God, it says it leadeth thee to repentance. You don't have a problem repenting.
That's right.
Because you understand fully what he did for you in the flesh. Believe me, he's more than just a Christmas Jesus. He's more than just a mere man. He had to be to take these things upon himself for me. For me. And it says, verse 6, and then we all like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Even in our own ways, doing our own things, he still took that upon himself. When Dale Moore was out there being the fool that I was, he still chose to die for me. He still chose to take them stripes for me. He still chose to take my iniquity, my transgressions upon himself. He took my sorrows and my grief on himself. And he chose that willingly for me. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before the shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. Who should declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he hath done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put to him the grief. When thou shalt, you see, all this that we're going to see, that we're going to read right here, the Lord could have threw that on you.
Yep.
You could have been the one to try to take these things upon yourself. That's not how he did it, though. Listen to me when I tell you this. God doesn't choose to throw people in hell. He chose to come down in the flesh to take all this so that you didn't have to go to hell. You choose to go to hell. You're the one that's going to choose to take your own judgment. You're the one that's going to stand there one day and have to stand there in judgment of God. You are. You think you can pay that price? I don't think you can. It's a debt way too big for you. But he came down. Let's keep going. And it says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. It pleased him to do it. And it put and hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. S-I-N, singular. That is your sin nature. That is what his offering was. To come and take care of your sin nature. He just became an offering for that. We read that. Leviticus 4, Leviticus 9, Hebrews 13, and many, many other places we see him fulfill the sacrifices. Became a sin offering. A sin offering for you. And it says, he shall see his seed and prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for she shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide a portion with the great, and shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. And he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. This is one of the reasons why Jesus Christ came in the flesh. To bear something that you could never bear on your own. You can't take that to the Father and say, Father, I'm coming to you to pay my sin debt. I'm coming to you for you to pay my grief. I'm coming to you to pay for my sin nature. I'm coming for you, No, that ain't happening. It's going to happen by the blood of Jesus Christ, the perfect Lamb of God, the sacrifice. He's the one who took. This is why I tell you, God doesn't choose you to go to hell. You choose to go to hell. You're the rebellious one in your heart. You're the one that continually hardens your neck against God. You want to know without being destroyed, without remedy is? When you wake up, you open your eyes in the flames. You're in hell, smell of sulfur, and you're continually falling. A worm, no man. That's going to be your punishment for eternity. There's no escape. There's no, I need a second chance. It's over with. There's no remedy. There's nothing that can help you. At this point in time, the blood of Jesus Christ can't do anything for you. It's too late. It's too late. He's not going to compromise his righteousness to keep you from the flames. He already done it. He went there once. He's not going to do it again. He went there once to take care of it once for all. What are you choosing? These people out here, these little hip-hop country artists, they promise you everything in the world. They're paying your bills. How about when you're going through family troubles? Are they there for you? Are they paying for your hospital bills, your counseling? How about food on the table when you're struggling? Are they paying that for you? How about the Hollywood harlots and the studs? What are they doing for you? Got anything for you? You want to put them on a pedestal and take Jesus Christ and make him into a Christmas story. That's what you do with him. You make him into a mere man, a Christmas story. I'm just going to tell you that. He's more than that. He's a Savior. He's the one who came down in the flesh for us. Thank God, because, man, there's no way I could have done it. No way. Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, not unto Dale, not unto Pastor Haynes, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy, and we just read that in Psalm 53, for the joy, or Isaiah 53, for the joy that was set before him. He knew what he was going to have to go through, but yet it was going to be a joy. Why? Because the possibility that you would become a son or daughter. That was a joy to him. He took it all. He took all the grief and the sin, the sorrow, transgressions, iniquities. He took all that, and he said, I'm going to take this because one day, that one might call on me.
Hey.
It was a joy to him. It was a joy to him. Who was that joy was set before him and endured the cross? Despising the shame. Remember, you're a curse if you hang on the tree. That's what it says. There was shame there. And it sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. Lest you be weary and faint in your minds. You notice how I didn't say you faint in your hearts because you're still filthy today. Your heart ain't faint. Your mind will, though. Your mind will get you to do some twisted things. I'm telling you right now. And follow right along with your heart. You'll faint your mind. You'll come up and excuse things. And what's it say? How they're excusing. Yes, right. Convincing yourself that it's all right. And you let the devil come in and tell you, oh, you fell, don't worry. You're all right. Get back up. Come on. Give you some more pleasure. And you're like a little sheep. You'll go right along with it. Over and over and over. And Jesus is looking at you going, you don't have to be that. He's the answer. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He gives you life not just for eternity, but life here on earth. I have a little piece of heaven in my home. I have a little piece of heaven at Black Creek Baptist Church. I have that. I don't tell you that because I want you to come and join me. I tell you that because I enjoy it myself. I don't have many problems in my life. Where it keeps me out of the church. Where it keeps me from going home. I don't have people who are now my enemies. I just spent almost 8 hours at a police officer's house who's now my friend. Only God would do something like that.
Yeah, only God.
That's just him. Then he puts a correction officer in the same property as me. I'm just saying, that's just him. He's like that, man. You know, but these people need to see a witness, not of Dale Morey. Don came over, the correction officer came over and he shook my hand the other day. I said, Don, what you see is not from me, it's from Jesus Christ. That's what Jesus Christ is.
Amen.
And he is so open to me saying that kind of stuff. Because you know what? When he's sitting in prison, being the guard that he is, all he sees is jailhouse religion. Then people coming back over and over and over and over. And same with Brother Hector, being a cop out there on the streets. He sees it over and over and over and over. He goes, I'm so sick of these people with these phony baloney testimonies, calling themselves a Christian, and then going out there doing whatever they want to do and expect somebody to come in here when they go soul winning. He goes, people are out there watching. Then they'll go knock on somebody's door and say, hey, you want to come to our church? That person goes, well, last week I just saw you in a bar. Why do I want to go there? Or I just see you doing this or cussing that out or doing that. And he said, you know what? He goes, I'm so sick of seeing people like that. And they call themselves a Christian. Do you know your testimony? You may not think people are watching, but I've gotten texts from people before saying, you know, I seen you out and you were doing this and you were doing that. And go, oh, I never even realized somebody was watching me.
Amen.
I'm just telling you, your testimony can make or break somebody sitting in the Black Creek Baptist Church. Go ahead and carry that out the door. Yeah. Woo, well, man, be a Christian. Just remember that when you're angry.
Yeah.
Remember that when you're going to do something that you know you shouldn't be doing. I'm just telling you right now, watch what you say, watch what you do, watch what you're buying, watch what you're watching, watch what you're saying, watch what you're listening to, because people are watching you. I guarantee it, you have a target on your back when you say yourself a Christian. Hang on, let me even go deeper than that. Even when you say you're from Black Creek Baptist Church. Because they already have things against this church, just in case you didn't know it. That's why our pews are so empty. So what do we do as the next generation? Do we go out there and continue to do it? Rescue the perishing. Remember that? Isn't that what he called us to do? We can't do it with a phony baloney testimony. Can't do it out there living the way you want to live. Jesus Christ didn't save Dale Moore to go out there and live any old way I wanted to. Okay, I'm just sorry, but you got Christianity all messed up if you think that's what it's all about. If you don't believe me, then I'll go ahead and I'll pull up about 20 verses and tell you exactly what it's supposed to say. It's not about what I say. It's about what the Word of God says. I live by that just in case. Yeah, I'm a nutcase. Call me whatever you want to call me. But I live by this thing. This thing runs mine and my family's life. I'm serious. When I go home, it's there with us, man. I'm not perfect at it, but you know what? God gave us these things for a reason. What do you think he gave to us, Pastor? Just to look at? Just to read once in a while? It's good to hear in church once in a while? Oh, no. James makes it clear. James 1, 22 through 25. You're deceiving yourself if you're not being a doer of the word.
Right.
That's what it says. I didn't say it. Oh, well, that's kind of harsh. Is it? They got the wrong God then. Want to know harsh? Why don't you go see what he used to do in the Old Testament? Why don't you go ahead and see what he did in the flesh for you? You want to know harsh? Kids are not born with manuals. But you know what? God was merciful to us and he gave us instruction manuals. It's called the Bible.
Right.
But who wants to listen to it? You know what he says? You're just being a deceiver. You're deceiving yourself. Hey, listen. Go ahead and hide in your closet or hide wherever you live or hide at work or whatever you want. God is watching you 24/7. You may be able to hide it from everybody who's sitting in this church pews, but you ain't hiding it from him.
That's right.
I tell you what, I get afraid when I'm by myself.
Uh-huh.
And something pops in my head. And the devil will go, nobody knows.
Come on.
Oh, no. Somebody knows. What's my biggest thing that I tell Luke and Autumn? You may have gotten away with something with me. I said, but God's seen what you've done. He knows the real truth. And they'll just look at me, and all of a sudden, their whole attitude will change. They'll come out, and they'll start telling me exactly what happened. I teach my kid the fear of God. I have a fear of God. I may be a knucklehead and a hardhead, but I'm afraid of what God would do to me if I don't start doing things the right way. I have a fear of that. Not because he wants to punish me, but because, you know what his motive is? Love. Imagine if we corrected our kids with just love, like God has for us. He has the right motive for doing it. What's our motive for correcting our children?
Love.
Same. That goes with all of us that are parents. Every one of us. Do we want our children to behave for us? Or do we want our children to behave and learn and be admonished by the things of the Lord? That's what the Bible says. How are we raising them? Anyway, that's just a few things of what Jesus Christ, why he came down in the flesh. Go search out the word flesh. Go search it out and compare what Jesus had done between the sacrifices and all that, and you'll be amazed at what you'll find. I'm done, Pastor.
Amen.